Hi, everyone. Josh Nason, WrestlingObserver.com, back with an edition of JMPO Classic here on the website that you enjoy very much, subscribe to, and support. Thanks for stopping by. This is my somewhat weekly look at the WJM MMA show, the show I did on ESPN New Hampshire back 2011-2012, going week by week, kind of going through the shows, taking a look down, walk down memory lane, a look at history in this sport, and a very interesting time for the sport. We've talked a lot about, obviously, the UFC and Fox deal in weeks past. We've had some interesting stories with Nick Diaz. This week was featured a very good interview, I do say so myself, with now former UFC fighter, and at the time he was a former UFC fighter, but someone that is kind of faded away a little bit from the sport, more of a coach's role now, Marcus Davis, the Irish hand grenade. So I had completely forgot that I was going to apparently broadcast, be part of the broadcast team for GFL, which is a now defunct organization in New England, and he was Marcus Davis going to headline that show in Portland, Maine. So this is a really good interview with Marcus. We talked, and I say I forgot I was supposed to. I don't think I ever did, and I don't know if I'm going to tell the story or not. I can't remember the story behind it, but I think the thing just got scrapped, and I cannot remember for the life of me why. So hopefully one of these future shows I actually talk about it so I can kind of remember what happened. So anyway, the Marcus Davis interview. This was really good. What was interesting, I thought about this all these years later, and you hear a lot the weight cutting talk. So he talks about having to cut 24 pounds in 48 hours in a short notice fight up in Canada. And actually not short notice. He had all kinds of travel issues and things like that, but just kind of, you know, with the lens of all the stuff that is going on today and all the questions, and you have this guy in Legacy Fighting that almost died in the cage. Just listen to how, you know, I want to say cavalier, but actually it is cavalier, how Marcus kind of talks about the weight cutting and the health decisions and his decision to move up to 170 pounds as opposed to 155. And it was this is really interesting given all the what's going on. And again, this was 6 years ago. So this obviously this stuff has been going on for years and years and years, but it's kind of interesting in that context. So hopefully you enjoy that. I liked him referring to Cajon Johnson, which is now Cajun Johnson, which is a fighter who is a fighter in the UFC. Marcus Davis cuts a pretty good promo on Travis Coyle. We talked about why so short between fights. He was fighting, going to set to fight, I believe, two times in like 4 weeks or 5 weeks, which is insane. And so we talked a little bit about that. But this is a really good interview with Marcus Davis. He was very, I've talked to him a few times before, and he was very clear during this interview. And he talked to me in the past about kind of, you know, he forgot a lot of stuff and so on, which obviously isn't a good sign. But that was years prior to this. Sounded completely lucid and really good and in a good spot. And, you know, it was interesting to kind of see where his career went after this. PJ and I also interviewed the UFC card coming up in New Orleans featuring Jake Ellenberger. As I wrote down, Jake the Ellenberger versus Jake Shields. Battle of Jakes, and also a nice Matt Riddle reference all these years later, 6 years later, and so on. So, and also we closed the show talking about this, and I forgot about this, a pretty disastrous Strikeforce show in Cleveland, Ohio. Low attendance, no ratings, and the end of Strikeforce is, you know, they're kind of etching it on the tombstone at this point. So if you've been listening to past shows, we're kind of at that point where this Strikeforce thing feels like it's about to sink at any point. So good interview with Marcus Davis and all kinds of other fun stuff as well. So let's get to it with yours truly, PJ Hewitt, and Marcus Davis on the September 15th, 2011 edition of the WJAM MMA show. Enjoy. The UFC debuts in a new city Saturday, headlined by a Battle of Jakes. We talk about last Saturday's yin-yang ratings, and we'll play with an Irish hand grenade. It's Thursday, August 25th, and the WGAM MMA show is live. Hello, dear listeners. Josh Nason, PJ Hewitt here with you on a rainy Thursday night from the official home of the WGAM MMA show.
It's feeling more and more like fall every day, isn't it?
It is.
It's dark now.
It is.
Outside.
Well, we're here to bring you the light, the beam of sunlight you need in your life, sitting there at home or in your car, wherever you're listening to us. Thank you for joining us. Once again, we're going to talk about everything in the world of MMA, mixed martial arts, for those of you who are just joining us for the first time. And PJ, what is the good word on the other side of the desk?
No, it's not too... actually having a pretty good week. I just started going back to school, which is very exciting for me. It's my first class in about 10 years. Hmm. Going back, I'm going to Emerson College now, which...
It's gonna
look good on the resume, Emerson College. So really, really excited going for digital media production, which is pretty video editing, a lot of that. And I'm gonna learn some web stuff and also some Photoshop stuff, things that I didn't know beforehand. So I'm very excited, and like I said, first school in about 10 years for me, but excited to go back.
Well, you've been getting an education here because I usually take you to school every single day.
Oh, yes. Yes, you do.
The most important question I can ask you about this educational endeavor of yours is, what was on your Trapper Keeper that you brought to class today?
Unfortunately, bad job out of me, didn't get a Trapper Keeper.
Oh.
Just went with the...
You brought the high school kids and I got kind of out of that. You're like, oh, I'm too cool for the Trapper Keeper.
Yeah, I don't know. I probably would have been, the coolest kid in class had I brought one in, but no, I did not get one.
I would...
I bring my Star Wars lunchbox in either.
Pencil pouch?
Nope.
Okay. I would love a UFC Trapper Keeper. I think that would be... Bad. That'd be so cool.
Let's get Dana White on the phone. Let's make that happen.
We'll get that along with the CM Punk ice cream bars. So anyway, we're here to talk about the UFC, and we're here to talk about mixed martial arts in general. And this Saturday night on free TV, if you have cable, Spike TV, big event coming up. Well, let's preview the show. I'm a little groggy. I've been at a marketing conference in Boston for 2 days, and Boston traffic. I tell you, if you commute out there listening to this, if you commute over, if you do that commute to Boston from this area, or any long commute, you're sitting in traffic for basically 2 hours. God bless you. Just, I wish I could give you a hug. I did this 2 days in a row, and I love my 5 minute commute to work now. It's great. I mean,
I have about 20 minutes, and that's good enough for me.
Ugh, it is just sitting in traffic, and it's like, why is no one moving? I don't understand this. So yeah, so I'm a little punchy. So on this episode of the WGM MMA show, we'll talk to Marcus Davis, the Irish hand grenade, and he is competing next week for GFL in Maine, another big event next Friday night. So we'll talk to Marcus a little bit about his fight, the main event on that, which I am very happy to say, and I have not told you this, PJ, I'll return to the broadcasting booth for
Excellent.
The GFL.
Yes, then two in a row now for
two
you.
Two in a row. I just asked the other day, so I'll be very excited. It'll be my first former UFC fighter I will have commentated for. So this
give a little bit more preparation time this time around. Last time it was pretty much
half an hour.
Raise the right hand, like call to the bullpen. Hey, yep. Josh, can you hop in here? So apparently you impressed him.
Yeah. I was asked. I was at the kickboxing class the other day, and Rich stopped over, one of the guys from GFL, and asked if I wanted to be in for next Friday night, and I'm going to have you up there anyway for the event. So that'll be a lot of fun. So we'll talk to Marcus Davis about his future, a lot of talk about retirement, a lot of talk about potentially a fight past next Friday night against Chuck O'Neill, potentially down in Florida. So we'll ask him all about that. And we'll also talk a little bit about Strikeforce and Bellator. They both had events last Saturday night, both with conflicting success, I guess is probably a good way of putting it. And we'll dissect what that means. But let's dissect a little bit of UFC. This Saturday night, first time in New Orleans, Louisiana, they are putting together a fight night event. Again, see it on Spike TV. All the premiums on Facebook. 4 fights on Spike. We'll go right from the top. The main event of the evening, former UFC welterweight title contender Jake Shields takes on Jake Ellenberger. So this is an interesting bout. Shields, obviously, recently, 3 weeks ago, lost his father. His father had been in his corner for every fight, a huge influence in his career, against Jake Ellenberger. Ellenberger is a higher-level prospect. He's only lost, I believe, once in his career, or twice, very sparingly. And
he has a few losses.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, he does.
Okay. So Shields coming off the loss to GSP back in April. Ellenberger is a wrestler. Shields, obviously, a jiu-jitsu practitioner and such. So Jake Shields versus Jake Ellenberger, not exactly a marquee main event, but it's still an interesting fight for 170 pounds.
Yeah, but it does have a marquee name in Jake Shields. And you mentioned his last fight against George St. Pierre, that unanimous decision loss where, it's tough to beat George St. Pierre, Jake Shields figured that out. Jake Ellenberger is a guy who's got 4 wins in a row right now, 3 of them by way of knockout. The other one was a split decision win. His last one over Sean Pearson in the first round, 242 of the first round, looked very, very impressive against Sean Pearson. His last loss came back on September 16th of 2009 against Carlos Condit. It was a split decision loss. So to really go back, for his last real decisive loss was back in 2008 against friend of the show Rick Story, when that was a unanimous decision loss. So he hasn't been really dominated in fights. You know, he's been competitive, and he's shown that he has some knockout power as well as past 3 out of his 4 fights.
What's interesting is I'm looking at that the past 2 losses are to guests that have been on this show. So very
coincidence.
Coincidence. Be careful.
Shields has not been on the show.
Oh, wow. That means Ellenberger is going to win. Get to your betting tables right now. So he's actually, you know what? I'm looking at this. I had not really done a lot of research on Ellenberger to this point, and I assumed he was more of a decision guy. But yeah, he's in 3 of his last 4. He's got stoppages. I remember now that fight against Pearson at UFC 129. He looked really good in that. So yeah, he's coming here on a bit of a roll. He is. A little bit more about him. Again, the wrestling background, he is 26 years old. And, he's been fighting for a while. April 2005, carries a 24-5 record into this fight. So he has plenty of experience. Tell you a little bit about Jake Shields in case you happen to forget, or if it's your first time hearing about him. He had a multi-year win streak. He basically did not lose from
2005 up until he fought George St. Pierre.
Yeah, long streak, won some titles, was basically one of the best welterweights considered, and is still considered one of the best welterweights in the world. Hung in there against GSP actually for the first time, and I don't know how many rounds, actually won some rounds against GSP, which is a pretty big accomplishment. Ultimately just didn't have that extra gear, and for some reason didn't want to take GSP down to the ground where he could actually use his Brazilian jiu-jitsu skills.
So which this, I guess maybe that shows a little bit of respect for how well George St. Pierre handles his ground game. And for George St. Pierre is considered a very, very good wrestler for when he was first kind of making his name in the UFC, really had 0 wrestling skills. And over the past few years has really worked hard to improve and now is considered one of the best wrestlers in MMA.
Or it might speak to a bad game plan. Because in this fight here, it's funny you mentioned that, Jake Ellenberger is a terrific wrestler. Wrestling background. So the question is going to be, can Jake Shields keep this standing? Does he want to keep it standing? And if he does, what type of success level is he going to have against a guy in Ellenberger?
Who we just mentioned has, four knockouts, I think, in his last 6 fights.
Yeah, and 3 stoppages in his last 4. So he's coming in here in a pretty good way. I'm going to go with Ellenberger in this.
Really?
I'm going to go with I'm going to go in Ellenberger, and I'm going to second round TKO. And the reason that I say that is I wonder, I don't know what effect Shields' father passing away has had on him. Cause again, he was basically part of his camp. So we'll be able to see, you know, he's been working harder, working less. And, I don't know. I just looking at that, what he's been kind of doing, he's on a nice streak there. And a lot of people are kind of undervaluing him because he's not a name, right? He's not a name. I think he's going to be named after Saturday night. I'm going to go with Ellenberger, second round, TKO finish.
Now I'm going to go with Jake Shields by decision victory. It's really hard to predict, like you said, when someone real close to you and it's an essential part of not only your training, but your life passes away. And dare I bring up Brett Favre, who I believe his father passed
How
away.
How dare you bring up Brett Favre?
Yeah, who I believe it was his father who passed away. And later on that week went out in a Monday Night Football game and had one of his career games.
Yep.
So I think Jake Shields does that, or not necessarily has a career, fight as in looks impressive, but I think he does enough to get the decision victory, and I think it'll probably be unanimous.
Well, it's funny you bring that up as well, because in this week's WGAM MMA Minute, talked about Michael Jordan, someone that lost his father and basically dedicated his season to him and just tore through the NBA. Tiger Woods, famously winning a golf tournament, I believe on Father's Day,
yep,
the Open Championship, and that was a scene. So some guys may respond in the positive, and some guys it's just maybe too tough, but we'll see a lot coming up. The main event this Saturday night, we'll go to the co-main event, and PJ, I'll tell you, it's not often where I have not heard of a guy on a main card, right? And I've watched a lot of fights, and there are some guys in the undercard who I admit I've not heard of. There's a guy in the main card I have never heard of that is fighting essentially in a co-main event spot, even though it's not really a co-main event spot. Court McGee, who won the Ultimate Fighter.
Well, we have heard of him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. He's a great story. He's someone that has come back from really great story. Came back from really heavy, heavy drug use and was a big-time addict. Almost died. I think he was legally declared dead at one point. Came back, turned his life around, found martial arts, and decided to turn this into a fighting career. Got in the Ultimate Fighter 11. Ended up winning the whole competition. He actually got let back into the competition at one point because he lost a fight early on in the season. And he comes in as a 13-1 record. He beat Chris McCray versus a second-round submission. He beat Ryan Jensen versus a submission at UFC 121 back last October. So he's kind of an interesting guy, has kind of a cool look. We've heard of him.
I like the facial hair look.
The facial hair. You know,
I'm a big facial hair guy.
So his opponent, however, Donggi Yang. Who is Donggi Yang, you might ask? Well, Josh, I don't know. He is, let me tell you, he has actually competed twice in the UFC, and he is currently a 10-1 record, coming off a second-round TKO win over Rob Kimmins back in March. I could not pick Donggi Yang out of a lineup. I feel embarrassed to say that, but I don't think I'm the only one.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that you never heard of, you know. His only loss came to Chris Camozzi, back at UFC 21.
So he's 26 years old.
That's we've been going this guy, like, how did he get this level? Like,
yeah, 10-1.
That impressive?
Basically, as you might guess, he competed in Japan mostly for his career, came to the UFC again. So he's been in the UFC for almost a year. So I guess I will be reintroduced to Donggi Yang this Saturday night against Court McGee. I will pick, I like the way McGee is going, and based on a complete lack of knowledge, I'm going to go with Court McGee, and I will go him to finish the fight in the third round.
Yeah, I'll take Court McGee as well. We mentioned each fighter only has one loss. McGee's loss came back in 2007 against former UFC fighter Jeremy Horn. McGee's won his last fights by three fights. He's finished his last three fights, his last two by submission, including a submission to the night victory over Chris McCray. I'll take Court McGee, too. He was one of my favorite guys watching that season of The Ultimate Fighter. So interesting to see what happens there and see if Donggi Yang impresses the people who will probably be introduced to him for the first time if they have not watched some of those preliminary fights which he's fought on previously.
Yeah, so I'll say third round submission. I think that's what I just said a minute ago, but I really just want to say Donggi! All right, third fight on the card, another Ultimate Fighter winner, Jonathan Brookins, someone that has not competed for a while due to injury. So he won the Ultimate Fighter 12 finale back December 2010.
And that was his last fight.
It was. He was hurt. He was supposed to fight back in the Ultimate Fighter 13 finale. So he comes in this fight, 12-3 record, taking on Eric Koch. So Brookins, 12-3 mark right now, has fought once in the UFC, and in that finale being Michael Johnson via decision. He has got a very interesting look, wild kind of mane, the Clay Guida, Ben Henderson style, just a big mane of hair, very distinct look, blonde hair, and someone that has looked good throughout the season on that season of The Ultimate Fighter. So I'm excited to see him fight again because it's almost like his UFC career starts now for all intents and purposes.
Right. But Eric Koch is no pushover. He's got two knockouts in his past two fights, and again, three finishes in his last three fights. Both his knockouts back at WEC 52 and UFC 128 were knockouts of the night. So he's a guy who, if you can stand with him, you better keep your, as you say, keep your hands up and keep your chin down because he can knock you out.
Absolutely. So Koch is, again, as you mentioned, a WEC refugee, essentially. So he's over in the UFC. This will be his second tilt in the octagon, 12-1 mark. Someone that has been starting to finish people again, three finishes in a row and after a run of decisions.
Yeah, and his only loss came to Chad Money Mendez.
So high competition, yeah. Which is good. So let's see. I'm going to pick, I don't know, cause I haven't seen Brookins fight in forever and right. I don't know where he's at. I'm going to go with Coke on this one, and I'm going to give Brookins some credit. I'm going to give Coke a decision win in this simply because I don't know what we have with Brookins. Brookins could come out and submit him, and Brookins' submission game is really good, but Coke, you've mentioned the competition, you know, his only loss came to, Chad Mendez, and Chad Mendez is obviously a title contender at this point. And some of the other guys he's fought on the stage before. I'm going to go with Eric Coke with this.
I think I'm with you. I think I'll go with Eric Coke. I think Jonathan Brookins has been away a little bit too long. I don't think he'll get crazily defeated, but if that's even a word, crazily
defeated.
If it's not a word, I claim it.
All right. I just like the terminology. Yeah. Crazily defeated, yeah. Not just a defeat. Crazily defeated.
I'll give Brookins a chance, but he's like you said, he's one of those guys that could, if you make a mistake and you give him a chance, he can submit you. And but I'll go with Eric Coke. His last fight came back in March. Brookins is a little, you know, back in December. And like you said, coming off the injury, we don't know really. You said it's essentially his UFC debut. So I'll go with Coke as well.
Yeah, his real UFC debut. Yeah. And that's how I kind of consider it. Okay. Final fight on the main card. Someone that I have an affinity to because I have a feature on him in this month's Fight Magazine. Found on newsstands everywhere. Alan Belcher coming off a long layoff. Speaking of long layoffs, God, all these guys on these, this is like the comeback card. So Alan Belcher, he is a 185 pounder, the man with the tattoo of Johnny Cash on his arm. He is, notably fought against, Yoshihiro Akiyama at UFC 100, lost a decision there, has, picked up a nice string of wins. However, Belcher is someone that had an eye injury. He had an eye injury. He suffered basically a detached retina, which was obviously very frustrating for him. Thought he was going to lose his sight. And in the meantime, he basically let his body heal. He had surgery and took some time off. Doctor said that he could come back and fight. And luckily, when he said he could come back and fight, he was clear to go, and he waited for the right time. He's actually from Biloxi, Mississippi, so this is basically about 45 minutes outside of New Orleans. So this is kind of his hometown fight. Fighting is a very tough guy, though, and Jason McDonald. Jason McDonald is a veteran by every sense of the word. I believe he's in his late 30s. If I remember right, he's fought in the UFC quite a while.
And yeah, he's 36.
Okay, and this is his second stint in the UFC, PJ, if you want to look that up. But he's kind of been a guy that's he hasn't got a big string of success in the UFC, but he's a tough out. And if you look over there, he's had some tough fights.
Yeah, his last fight came against Ryan Jensen, UFC 129. Again, it is his second stint in the UFC. He had a layoff between UFC 113, where he lost to John Salter. And his last fight previously in the company before that was a loss to Nate Quarry back at UFC 97.
Boy, that was a long time. Jeez, it
seems
like
it.
A decade ago.
And it was only, what, probably it was three years now?
Yeah, it's like 3 years.
What was it? Oh, man, there's so many. One a month is just crazy.
Yeah, UFC 97 literally feels like it was a decade ago.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago, April of 2009.
Man, all right. So he'll be a tough out. I'm going to give this pick with an asterisk because I have my heart beats a little bit. I like guys I do features on, and one cool thing is I like about Alan Belcher is that he has his own gym, as a lot of the guys do, but he's got almost 30 employees at the gym, and he told me in June he had like the second most amount of kickboxing signups in the country. Down Biloxi or outside of Biloxi, Mississippi, whereas this gym, it just was one of those things. He's like, well, if I can't focus on fighting, I have to heal up from my eye injury. I'm going to put everything I have into my gym. And he's basically setting himself up for life after fighting, which is, I thought was really cool. So I'm going to pick Alan Belcher. I'm going to pick him to win big. I'm going to pick him in my first round TKO because he's my man, Alan Belcher.
Well, since you picked Alan Belcher, cause you have an affinity for guys you've talked to, I've interviewed McDonald before. So I'm going to go with McDonald in this fight.
Oh, wow. You went with a Canadian.
Yes, of course.
Oh, what is that about, eh? That's a Canadian imitation. Okay. So you're going to pick that? All right. Well, let's see what happens next week. I have the right mind to call Alan Belcher or text him perhaps and say, hey, guess what? PJ didn't pick you.
I'm sure he would not care.
So we're going to go to the break here in a minute, talk to Marcus Davis real quick. Just looking over the Facebook card. There's a lot of interesting guys. There's seven fights on this Facebook undercard, right? Cody McKenzie, the master of the McKenzatine, is going to be on the undercard fighting against Wagner Rocha. Very interesting. Former lightweight contender Evan Dunham, who is basically one fight away from getting a title shot, has had a pretty disastrous past couple fights against a big competition. He gets back in there against Shamar Bailey. Matt Riddle, who's a very exciting fighter to watch against Lance Benoist. Ken Stone, local guy, against Donnie Walker. Clay Harvison versus Seth Basinski. TJ Waldberg versus Mike Stumpf. Mike Lulo versus Robert Peralta. And Justin Edwards versus Jorge Lopez. But I think the interesting fights on that one, those top three, McKenzie, Dunham, and Riddle especially. So that's UFC on Fight Night 25 coming up this Saturday in New Orleans, Louisiana. We'll tell you all about the results next week. So we're going to head to a break. When we come back, Marcus, the Irish hand grenade Davis. This is the MMA show on New Hampshire's ESPN Radio, WGAM, the game. WGAM MMA show is back. And PJ, you know that I'm very proud of my heritage to be from Maine.
Yes.
You know this. Very proud to go back there. Even though I live in New Hampshire, I go back quite a bit. And one of my favorite things about Maine is the fact that, you know, they've recently...
Lobsters.
Not lobsters.
No, really?
No, not lobsters. However, one of my favorite things is the fact that they've legislated MMA, completely legal in the state, and recently had a chance to go to a Global Fight League event there earlier this year and had a blast. And one of the cool things about Maine is that even though the sport is not legal there for so many years, there were fighters there that still persevered and trained there and came from Maine and made something of themselves. And our guest tonight is actually one of those people. We're joined by someone that actually is going to fight in the main event, a Global Fight League 9, in one of my adopted hometown of Portland, Maine, next Friday night, September 23rd. He's a man that MMA fans and UFC fans will know very well. He is the Irish hand grenade, Marcus Davis. And he joins us on the WGAM MMA show. Marcus, what's going on?
What's going on, guys? Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to come on here and promote the show. I appreciate it.
Hey, listen, I've talked to you a few times for some other print articles. And I tell you what, I've talked to a lot of fighters. And I find you've been one of the most honest guys I've ever talked to and someone that is very insightful. And I think one of the things that really stuck out about one of the last times you and I talked, which you told me about, sometimes after fights, you would basically go on trips, either with your family, or I believe one time you went kind of off by yourself and backpack for a couple of weeks. And I thought that was kind of interesting that you kind of need some getaway time after these wars in the cage.
Yeah, no, that's true, man. I do tend to, you know, right after fights, after my first MFC fight that I had there against Damaris there in May, June, I spent actually, I think it was 10 days in England and 10 days in Ireland or something like that. So I was gone for quite a while and then came back home and got ready to fight the Pete's Brad fight. And then when I got back from that, I did a little vacay with the family. So I think it's very important to have that time because, you know, training camps are, for me, very, very stressful and there's a lot of emotion going on because, you know, I'm a father of four, married man. I have four different corporations, businesses that I have that also, you know, take time. And then put on top of it, I try to teach about 30 hours a week here at my gym. And then on top of that, you know, I train between 20 to 30 hours a week on top of that. So I pretty much live in the gym when I have these events, you know, when I'm training for fights, and then throw all the, you know, the suffering of the dieting and all the other stuff, you know, your general stuff that everybody deals with on top of it. So, you know, it's kind of that emotional roller coaster. So as soon as I get done with a fight, I like to take time off. But obviously here for this one in Maine, I took a pay cut from what I normally would make so I could be on this show because it was really important to me to be able to say I fought in my home state before I retired, you know. And on top of that, I don't get to take the little break that I wanted to, but what I'm used to, because 3 weeks later I'll be fighting Chuck O'Neill in W1. So it's a busy schedule.
So let's talk about your 2011. Started out, coincidentally, on the first day of the year, losing to Jeremy Stephens in the third round.
Yeah.
And after that, you know, the cut from the UFC, and I think some people had expected it, but still it was kind of tough to see because you'd been there for so long and been such an ambassador, especially over in the UK. Take me what your mental situation was after that cut, and did Dana call you? Was it a Joe Silva thing, or how did that happen, and then your mindset after that?
Well, you know, apparently, you know, all the walking papers and all that stuff, that goes through my manager. So, you know, nobody actually contacted me or told me anything, but I assumed it was going to happen. And, you know, I was battling so many different health problems, and I just had, you know, I really had a real rough, last, 2.5 years there in the UFC. Not that, you know, obviously I, you know, I didn't lose four in a row, but you know, I lost two, then I won one, and then I lost two. And I think I was deservingly let go at that time because, you know, I should have been winning fights. The only thing that did disturb me a little bit was the fact that, you know, after all of that, and then to see Dan Hardy lose four in a row and they decide to keep Dan Hardy, and then to hear, them say, you know, Lorenzo say that it's because Dan Hardy always brings it. I questioned that. I said to myself, let's see, how many Fight of the Night awards, whether it's KO to submission or whatever, the Night awards, has Dan Hardy won? I believe zero. I had 15 appearances with the UFC and I had 9. So that kind of bothered me. But, the way I look at it now, you know, I'm back on a roll. And winning fights, I feel very healthy, and I'm going to win the next two fights in the next 4 weeks. I'll have two more wins under my belt, and then we just go from there.
So MFC, an organization, if people have not heard of it, in Canada, really big organization up there, and a little bit more than obviously a regional. They give you a call and they say we want you to come in, and I believe for either one or two of these fights, your opponent had been either a late addition or your opponent was a late addition, something like that, right?
Yeah, I was originally supposed to fight K John Johnson, I think was the kid's name.
Okay,
and then he ended up blowing his shoulder out about 4 weeks from the fight. So then they ended up pulling in Curtis DeMars, and that fight was at 55. And what ended up happening is that on my way out to that fight, my first fight got canceled. Then my next four flights got postponed. So I ended up arriving over a day later than I was supposed to arrive. And instead of cutting the 9 pounds that we thought I was going to cut, I had to cut 24 pounds in 48 hours. So it was pretty much the most brutal, it was by far the most brutal weight cut I ever did. If you go online and you type in, I can't remember which MFC it is, but there's a YouTube link that goes to, you know, MFC weigh-ins, interviews, and if you type my name in, it should be in there too because it's part of that, you know, the tags.
Yeah, it's 29, MFC 29.
Yeah, if you read all the remarks at the bottom, they're not about any other fighter but me, and I'm only on there for like 5 seconds of the 3 minutes, and it all says, oh my God, it looks like Marcus Davis is dying of AIDS. Oh my God, Mom, zombies are real, and all this stuff and comments about, you know, how sickly I looked, and my wife is a healthcare professional, and she saw that. And that was it, man. I got home, and my wife told me, you know, there's only a queen of the household. There's no king. And she said, listen, we have an agreement about you fighting. And, you know, you told me that when I started to see, you know, you change, or I saw see things that would scare me or worry me, that you would retire. She said, no more 155 pounds after seeing what happened. You know, she made me make her a promise that I wouldn't fight at 55 again. So that ended the whole run at 55. But, you know, I still won the fight and then would go on to fight Pete Spratt about 6 weeks after that or 7 weeks after. I can't remember. But and then I would fight Pete and beat Pete. So now we move forward to GFL 13.
Talking to Marcus Davis. He'll be fighting up in Portland, Maine. Again, like you just said, his opponent will be Travis Coyle. Marcus, tell us what you know about Travis Coyle. He's an up-and-coming guy. And how is it difficult to train for a guy who might not be as well-known, who might not have as much video or you know, might not just heard about what kind of fighting style he has? Is that difficult?
Well, I mean, in some regards, it would be. I actually got a hold of a lot of video on this kid. I got a hold of, I think it was eight of his last eight fights were pretty accessible on the internet, if you know where to look and you know how to use it. And so I got all of his fights. I got, and the most important, obviously, the most recent, and it was his last eight, so I got to see all of his most recent fights. And I watched him and he's very, he's one-dimensional. After watching everything that I've seen of him, he's a one-dimensional fighter. And then I go and somebody posts on my Twitter, actually his coach there, McSweeney, posted on my Twitter an interview and, that he did. And this kid says, that when he was 18, so it would have been back in 2005 when I did the math, he says that he grappled with me or wrestled with me and that he handled me or something like that. And so I'm thinking back, number one, I don't remember this kid. I don't remember ever doing that. But probably in 2005, which is when I shot The Ultimate Fighter, I don't know if everybody remembers, I'd never even grappled before. I went into The Ultimate Fighter as a boxer. And then after doing The Ultimate Fighter and then actually grappling and doing what I did, I went on to have more actually submission wins than I do anything else. On top of it, he said something about spending time in Thailand, I guess, and that he could stand with me. This kid's absolutely out of his mind if he believes that. And out of the eight fights that I've seen, his most recent fights, you could set a watch to him. That kid shoots in every fight within the first 10 seconds. Every fight. So he's not going to stand with me. If he does, it'll be a short night because I'll punch holes in this kid's head. And I'm going to beat this kid in anywhere he wants to take it. I'll beat this kid. I'm a better fighter than this kid. You kind of look at it like this. This kid's been playing basketball at the Y with all of his buddies, and he thinks he's going to jump into the NBA and he's going to be a star. That ain't happening. You know, he's going to show up here, flying, the almost 1500 miles to get here, probably even more if he has connections. And obviously he's going to, when you're coming to Maine, there's no straight flight from almost anywhere going to Maine. So he's going to come into my backyard, 140 miles from my house. And thinks that he's going to come in here and he's even going to contend with me. I'll tell you what, I will finish this fight exactly when I want to finish it. And that's what's going to go down.
Now, you mentioned you have a short turnaround after your fight with Travis Coyle to fight Chuck O'Neill on October 15th. What's the preparation for like? What goes on between such a short period of time between fights?
Well, what's funny is that one of the fights that I've watched a lot is the Chuck O'Neill Travis Coyle fight. So they fought each other, I can't remember which event it was right off the top of my head, but they fought in Massachusetts. And Chuck submitted him by triangle choke in the very first round. I think it was in about a minute and 20 seconds or something like that he submitted him. So it's been interesting. I've actually trained with Chuck before. Chuck is a good guy. He's a nice guy. I have no ill feelings or anything like that. This is all business. And both of us are alumni of The Ultimate Fighter. I respect him. He respects me. We're going to go out there. We're going to shake hands before. We're not going to be friends during it, but afterwards I'll shake his hand again. We just move on.
So you've mentioned in the past and recently I've heard that R word creeping up, that retirement word, So a few minutes ago you said you were kind of, see what happens in these fights and kind of take it from there. Are you at that point where you're kind of looking at the end and seeing just kind of your body responds before making a call, or is this going to be the farewell tour for Marcus Davis?
Yeah, I'm not going to put an expiration stamp on my head. So I am going to kind of just take it from how I feel. you know, and how my body feels and how I'm performing in the gym and my sparring sessions and my wrestling and all that stuff. I'm not, I mean, right now, I can tell you, you know, if some happened and no matter what, if I lost this fight coming up, there would be no excuse as far as health or injury or anything as of, you know, this day, today, knock on wood. I am in excellent, excellent shape. And when people see me, they're going to see that I don't even look like I did with the Speak Pete Spratt thing, because I was still actually recovering from that horrible weight cut and everything, and blowing up to actually, I made 154 for that Curtis DeMars fight. That Monday, I was after the fight, I was 194. And then by the end of that next week, I was 207. So my body had actually seized up. I mean, I couldn't take a crap for like a week. My body was not letting, my body was so afraid that I was not going to feed it again, or I was going to put it through that. It was not letting anything go. So, but now, man, I look great. I feel great. And I'm crushing it in the gym, and I'm hanging with these guys. Well, not hanging them. I'm beating these, you know, youngins up. So it's pretty scary when, you know, my daughter, my oldest daughter's older than some of my sparring partners. But, you know, I'm still in there, and I'm still kicking.
You can find him on Twitter at Irish Hint, or at Irish Grenade. I could pronounce that right. At Irish Grenade. Any other places where people can find you online?
They can actually get a hold of me right at either IrishHandGrenade.com, or they can go to TeamIrishMMA.com, and we have a contact form right on there, and people could go right onto that contact form. If you fill out that contact form, that actually goes to right directly to me and our admissions director here, Jim Parent. So you got to understand that both of us are going to see that. But you can get a hold of me right there, man. And as you said, my Twitter, and I think I'm almost maxed out on the Facebook thing, which I used to not run, but I do run my own Facebook now. I had somebody else do that, but I have taken it over, and you can find me at Facebook, and it's all separate words, though. It's not all Irish. The hand grenade isn't one word. Somebody already took it. Funny, people taking Irish hand grenade all of a sudden, but Irish, separate word, hand, separate word, grenade. You can find me on Facebook there.
He fights in the main event next Friday night, September 23rd, Global Fight League, Portland, Maine, against Travis Coyle. He is the man himself. Irish hand grenade, Marcus Davis. Thank you so much for joining us, Marcus. And do Maine proud next Friday night, will you?
I will, man. I will, man. Shout out to another Mainer. I'm going to go out there, man. I'm going to start this kid in our backyard. And just move on, man. He's going to be a little tiny road bump in the trail of my career.
I like it. Thanks again, Marcus. Best of luck.
All right. Thank you again for having me on.
That was Marcus Davis representing the 207 PJ. We're going to take a break. Let me recover from the main greatness. We'll be back talking about Strikeforce, Bellator ratings, and everything else. This is the MMA Show on New Hampshire's ESPN Radio, WGAM, the game. WGAM MMA Show, final segment. PJ, unlike the song, you're always there.
Try to be.
Always there for me. He's always there for you people at home, too. Round of applause for PJ.
I'm always here at the station.
You are.
Yeah.
You should have a sleeping bag here.
If you just... Fortunately, we talked about the commutes earlier in the show. I don't have a long commute, so I can go home. If I had one of those Boston commutes, there might be a few times during the week where I just stay here.
Mm. If you're just joining us now, for shame. For shame.
You missed a great interview with Marcus Davis.
Yeah, he got me excited.
One of our longer interviews that we've ever had.
Yeah, and it was a good one, which was good. He knows how to promote. Youngsters that are fighters, learn how to promote. That's the game, the name of the game. That's what you got to do.
Oh, he sounds confident, too, going against this kid, Travis Coyle.
That'll be great. We talked all about UFC Fight Night 25 coming up Saturday on Spike TV for you cheapos. We talked about that in our first segment. A good long interview, as we alluded to, with former UFCer Marcus Davis. Fights next Friday night. I will be cage side, and then a few weeks after he fights Chuck O'Neill. So the Marcus Davis appreciation tour, I guess we'll call it, continues, because he's not calling it a retirement at any means. But PJ, for those people who have missed the show, who want to atone for their sins, they want to listen to that or any of our other archive content, What do they do?
Well, you can go to WGAMthegame.com. You go under shows, search for the WGAM MMA show. You mentioned we archive everything that we do. We podcast everything, so you can go listen to this show if you missed any part of it, or listen to past shows that we've done. If you want to connect with us through the social media aspect, you can find us on Facebook as well as tweet at us at WGAM_MMA. And of course, go to WGAMMMA.com and check out the blog.
And as always, if you have any questions for us, any stuff you want us to talk about in the show, just hit us up on Facebook or Twitter, and we'll answer your questions live on the show. We thank you for your support.
And I'll put this out there too. If you ask us a question on Twitter, we will get a t-shirt set aside for you, but you have to, prerequisite, have to come to the station to pick it up.
Yeah, because we have a lot of,
because we're very cheap and we can't afford to send them out. And as long as your t-shirt size is small, medium, or double extra large, we have a t-shirt for you, a Warrior, the movie Warrior t-shirt.
Which is out now, and it's not done great at the box office, but everyone that has seen it is
critics are saying it's very good.
Yes.
So that's the important thing too. Because a lot of people, they're not into MMA, and maybe they see the MMA aspect and they're like, well, that's not going to interest me if I go see it. Whereas we talked about it a few weeks ago, it's more than just an MMA movie. It's a personable story.
My buddy Scott Smith saw the movie and made sure to tell me he loved it, and he is not an MMA fan, so take that for its worth. Anyway, so speaking of critics, speaking of people going to see stuff, people did not want to see a lot of Strikeforce this past weekend. A really fun card going in. We briefly touched on it last week. We had the Grand Prix semifinals. We had King Mo on the card. Top to bottom, the main card fights on Showtime were really, on paper, good leading in. And the show delivered coming out, I thought. Even the prelims were, there was some buzz behind it. But not only did nobody go to the event in Cleveland, which is where it was held, it was under 2,000 tickets sold, which is dreadful, absolutely dreadful for even a second tier, and they're not even a second tier organization. They're on freaking Showtime. You know what I mean? They have people that they know, whatever. So not only did it do dreadful in the box office, PJ, it did not do good in the ratings either.
No, an average of about 274,000 viewers watched this event. And compared to Bellator over on MTV2, who also had an event.
Man's Best Friend.
Yes, on MTV2. They had ratings. It was their fourth highest ratings ever, and that was about 235,000.
Ever.
Yes, on MTV2, yes.
That's impressive. So you had
about 40,000 more people watch on Showtime for Strikeforce than people who watch Bellator on MTV2.
And I believe if you have do you have the Strikeforce story right there?
I have a Strikeforce story, yeah.
For those of you at home, I'm pointing to PJ's computer screen. Does it actually show the historically in the ratings where this falls?
I don't see that here,
okay,
no.
Okay, it must be a different article. Yeah. Anyway, so basically there are challenger shows, which challengers are prospect shows. They are like 11 o'clock on Friday nights, and only hardcores like me actually watch them. There were Strikeforce challenger shows that beat this Strikeforce show this past week. So it really lends a question of what happened. All right, so there's a few different things, and one is that you wonder if some of the Bellator audience may have ganked some of the Strikeforce audience, possibly. But if you look at the cards comparatively, the Strikeforce audience, there was actually that wouldn't be relevant at all, because the Bellator event started at 9. The Strikeforce event started at 10:30, right? 10:30 now. Showtime has these events starting, which is just ridiculous to me. 10:30. So that really wouldn't be a factor. College football being a factor. Michigan Notre Dame was Saturday night, and perhaps I know at the bars I was at a bachelor party, that was all that was on TV. So that could have been part of it. And maybe part of it is just there was just no buzz factor. Again, less than 2,000 people show up in the arena. You didn't feel like Showtime really promoted it that heavily outside of their normal events. It didn't seem to connect with anyone compared to some of their other fights.
Yeah, and I did find the all-time comparative ratings here for Strikeforce on Showtime. It ranked 17th, sandwiched between Strikeforce Heavy Artillery back from May 2010. I don't know who was on the fights there.
Okay.
And then Strikeforce Los Angeles back in June of 2010. That's 308,000 for Heavy Artillery, 164,000 for Los Angeles. Just to give you a quick the top five: Strikeforce Fedor versus Silva back in February, 741,000.
Yeah, that it's
so it is a long way off, and that's just from a few months ago.
Yeah, the
what does this say for Strikeforce? Is this pretty much the death march right now when you get that low? Do they have any chance of really rebounding and getting a super high ratings with the talent they have left on their roster?
Another small Strikeforce tidbit that went really under the radar this week is there was on that same card on the opening fight, a fighter named Maximo Blanco lost to Pat Healy and is fighting at lightweight and is obviously probably should have been fighting at 145. So what did the UFC do? The UFC basically said, okay, we're going to have him transfer to the UFC and fight at 145 pounds. This is the first official transfer, not a contract takeover type of thing, right? So this just opens up the door for more guys to want to transfer over. And you just have to wonder what the, like you were asking, what's the future? And I mean, I don't know if this is as much people seeing as a lame duck promotion and not wanting to watch. Because again, at the end of the day, your hardcore fans, which are the ones that are making up the majority of the buys on the low-end pay-per-views for UFC, for example, your low-end fans are going to watch good fights regardless. It's the casual fan to get them over that's going to make the difference. Why a casual fan decided to pull over to watch Fedor, probably because Showtime really tried to build Fedor still something special, then that rating for that Grand Prix semifinal or the Grand Prix opening tournament. Opening round, that was a big rating. I think that was over 2. Overeem Verdum was a recent one that also
yeah,
did
that was
well.
And that's second, 624,000 viewers. That's second all time.
So Alistair Overeem was not a household name by any means. You know, so again, you're appealing to your hardcore. What happened between that and that bottom rung?
Yeah, 4 out of the top 5 have all been this year: February, June, July, and January of 2011.
And you think with a tournament, again, a tournament lends itself to progressive thinking, right? Progressive thinking is you're playing the music on me, so you want me to go.
Oh, it's time to go, unfortunately.
Bellator, also, speaking of Bellator, in addition, this Saturday night on MTV2. Don't have much time to go over the card, but real quick, last week, Ben Saunders, you were very impressed with him?
Very impressed, yeah. He finished the fight in the third round, but controlled it, and we tried to talk to him last week. It didn't end up working out, but yeah, I think that was one of the better fights on the card.
My opinion, he's going to be a star for Bellator. I think he's going to come out of this tournament victorious, and I think he's going to be a force at 170 and a guy they can mark in the future. I think he's hitting his stride now. Good stuff going on for him. Big thanks to Marcus Davis that
Indeed.
Joined us on the show. He fights again next Friday night. Yours truly will be there commentating cage side. We'll actually talk a little bit more about that next week. All kinds of stuff to watch this weekend for free. UFC on Spike Saturday night and all that good stuff too. So for PJ Hewitt, I'm Josh Nason. Thank you for joining us once again, WGA MMA show. And until next week, keep your chin down and your hands up.